Greeting from Saipan and also from the suffering brothers and sisters from mainland China. Now, we are very grateful that we have this opportunity to share with you the Word of God. But that before I start, a lot of people said, well, listen, your name is really good name. And Christian Wei, that's a nice name. Well, I want you to know that that's my English name. That's not my Chinese name. If I say my Chinese name, probably a lot of you probably cannot pronounce that. So when I was young, all English teachers understand that people have difficulties to pronounce our Chinese name. So they encouraged me to choose an English name. Now, I was not saved. And that time, with a very pervert mind, so I thought, if I want to choose a name, I want to have a name that will really be influential. And in the Western civilization, Christ is the most influential person. So I want to name myself Christ. But then I was a little bit afraid that if I speak to English speaking people, and so, they say, "What's your name?" I say, "My name is Christ." They probably will be offended and then punch my nose. And I already have no nose. I mean, I already have a flat nose, and if they punch my nose, I become no nose. And so I thought maybe that's not a good idea. Maybe I need to change a little bit. Instead of just call myself Christ, I call myself Christian. Now later on when I was in the military, and one night a colleague came to me. And he said, "Do you want to go to church?" I said, "No, I don't want to go to church. I don't like Christianity. I hate Christian because those Christian, they say they're Christian, but they don't do what they're supposed to do." So I said, "I don't want to go to church." And then the colleague said, "But there's a lot of girls in the church and singing hymns and play guitars." And then he said, "Do you want to go?" And I said, "Well, in that case, I'll go with you." That's the first time I went to church, with a very evil motivation. I went to the church and then saw a lot of young people, and then I saw that they, have something I don't have. I really, feel that they are different. And so I studied them, and my pastor gave me a book entitled, "Is the Bible the Inspired Word of God?" And the more I was very interested with what, want to know what's happening. So, I start reading. The more I read, the more I feel angry, because I think this is propaganda. Definitely the Christian people will say this, and this is a Christian propaganda. They are just want to washing people's mind. And but the more I get angry, the more I want to find out what's happening. So I finish the whole book, and in the end of the book, that there's a the author lists 32 questions. Have you committed this kind of sin, that kind of sin? Have you lied? Have you steal? Have you disobeyed to your parent? And I was so shocked because I committed them all. And I was very guilty. So I kneeled down in the military dorm. I don't know how to pray, and nobody teach me how to pray. But that I was guilty, so I kneeled down. I said, "God, if you exist, please help me." And then I cry, and when I finish crying and stand up, I heard a Christian say that when you pray, or when you believe in God, there's a miracle. So I waiting for maybe there's a big light from heaven, and wait for a couple of minutes, nothing happened. Or then I wait for an earthquake, and then after a few seconds, there's no earthquake. No big light, no earthquake. I was a little bit disappointed. But I make a decision. I said that I need to find out what's happening. So on that night, September 10, 1978, I decided I'm going to go to church to make sure what's happening. A year later, I got baptized. But when I look back that night, September 10, 1978, even though I didn't experience physical miracles, but miracles did happen. God has changed my life. And so I surrendered to the Lord and become a full-time service. and servant and minister as an assistant pastor for 6 years. And later on, in 1986, I continued my further education graduate school in Bob Jones. And the first Sunday, we went to the American church. And when I go into the American church, a lady came to me and said, "What's your name?" Because she saw that my oriental face, so was very happy to see me, and then asked me, "What's my name?" I say, "My name is Christian Wei." Immediately, you see that the lady just beaming up, and then eyes pop up, and then was so joyful, and she said, "That is the only way." And I never connect this together. That's the first time I realized that with my this perverted mind and choose an English name that want to exalt myself, but God has a plan. And long before I was born, and then lo and behold, that connect with my family name, which is spelled W-E-I instead of W-A-Y, God purposely showing to me that Christ is the only way. You have to realize that before I was saved, I studied Buddhism. I under the Confucianism and grow up with this tradition and worship ancestor. And in the later time, I studied Taoism, and I cannot find peace. But when I found Jesus Christ, and he changed my life. And today, there's so many Westerners and want to go into the Buddhism and Taoism and Confucianism, and they didn't know that I just came out from that. I cannot find any peace there, and they are so foolish and been blind and brainwashed going into that false religions without hope. You have to realize when I make decision, I have to check with all those details. One of the things that really, really bother me, because Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one go to the Father but by me." That's not the Oriental culture or tradition. Only culture said everybody can go. But now, Jesus said, "He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one go to the Father but through him." You have to realize that if he is not the only way, then he will be the most evil liar of the whole human history. And so, Jesus Christ, when he said he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can go to the Father but by him, he is not telling us that he is a better way. He's not telling us even that he's the best way. He's actually telling us that he is the only way. Now, if we don't choose him, then the end result is that we are not going to know God, and we are going to go to hell for eternal condemnation. There's no other way. He is the only way. Now, since he is the only way, my brothers and sisters, you have to realize that we need to give our life and focus on preaching him, and then spread out the gospel that Jesus Christ has given to us. We have things to do. We have commission to accomplish. The great commission is for us to go and make disciples of all nations. Now, if you are saved, whether you are old or young, if you are saved and you have no desire to preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations, I can tell you, you are not in God's will. We all need to understand this great commission given to us is a command. Whether you like or not, you have to go. And you have to make disciples of all nations. And that's important for us to understand. That's the reason why we have seen that in the history, we have, particularly in the modern day, people go to free country. And the country that has been preached the gospel for years and years, and they are not willing to go to 1040 window, restrict the assassination to preach the gospel. We think this is an unbalanced mission endeavor. And therefore, when God calls us out, we have a desire to reach out to those areas that no one preaches the gospel. But I want to present the ministry, not only present the ministry to you, but I will also present a topic to you so that you understand the concept here. You have to realize when we go into the 1041, we meet with those persecuted brothers and sisters, we find out that they have a lot of trials. And one of the very important lesson we have learned is that when they face persecution, when they face trial, when they face all kinds of hardship and suffering and difficulties in life, they respond in a biblical way. And I think that's also what we need to learn. You see, we are so blessed with all the material blessings, so blessed with all the reach and blessings in this country. Never forgot that all this are grace. We don't deserve all the blessing. God can put us in a very difficult situation. Now, when we face that, what are we going to do? When you face trials and temptation and hardship and suffering in your life, what is biblical way to respond in order to prove you are follower of Jesus Christ? And so this evening I want to share with you how to respond biblically during trials. But before that, I want to share with you our ministry. Now, you have to realize it's Christian Way Missions, not Christian WEI Mission. So it's not me, it's Christ. Don't mess up about that. I'm just a humble tool in God's hand. And we are very grateful for Dr. Johnson to join us, and then we can continue this Great Commission mission. Now, what is our focus? Our focus is a 1040 window. Now, what is 1040 window? 1040 window is in the missiology that we can see that there's an imagined box in the map from West Africa to the East Asia, from the 10 latitude to 40 latitude. In that particular imagined box, there's 63 countries locked out in that box. And there's 4.6 billion people in this particular 1040 window. We have 7.0 billion people in the world and 4.6 billion people in that particular 1040 window, which means that about two-thirds of the world population actually locked up in that small box of the map. And most of those, in that box, most of the people are unevangelized. According to the study, there's 95% of that 4.6 billion people are unevangelized. And so you probably see that there's so many souls that nobody teaching them about the Lord Jesus Christ at all. And there's a major non-Christian religions actually start from 1040 window. You name it. Muslim and Hindu and Shintoism, Buddhism, Confucianism, and even communism. That all came from that area, 1040 window. And some people say this is Satan's hole and the base of Satan, and try to deceive people and then destroy the souls of the human being. And therefore, we feel this is unbalanced missions. And you have to realize 95% of our unreached people groups actually in 1040 windows. And there's a 75% of the world population that in 1040 window. But there's only 8% of the mission endeavor laboring in 1040 window. What does that mean? That means if we, in 1 year, we send out, Christian church send out 100 Bibles to the unsaved people group, there's only 8 Bibles sent into 75% of the population in 1040 window. Now, if we have 1 year, $100 budget for the mission work, only $8 going to 75% of the world population. We have to admit this is an unbalanced mission endeavor. And you have to realize a lot of people do not want to go to 1040 window. It's really because they heard a lot of a government hostile to Christian. And those are all kinds of a story they have heard. And a persecution happened. And definitely also they heard a lot of a story about poverty. And there's a pools of pools actually in the 1040 windows. According to the study, that even though there's a lot of rich people in China, but 70% of the war of the Chinese population are still in the poverty, under the poverty. Now, poverty line. What? How much they earn? A lot of that 70% of the Chinese population, they only earn $400 a year. Now, we said if we earn $24,000 a year, that's below the poverty line. But did you know that there's a people out there in this world today that they only earn $400 a year? And I have seen pictures and also heard the first-hand story that our brother shared with us, that the people do not even have a clothes to go out. And that's a situation that we have seen in China and in 1040 window. And we believe that if we want to reach out to the 75% of the world population, we need to go through the key, the China, the gate of 1040 windows. And we believe that China is the largest mission field of the world. You have 1.6 or 1.5 or 6 billion people in mainland China. And so this is the largest country, I mean, largest population country in the world. And yet, we have very few missionaries going to China to reach out to the Chinese people. People look at the China or the 1040 windows, they consider they are restrict access nations. And when you talk about a restrict access nation, what do we have? We have Aquinan, ran. So everybody ran away. People don't want to go. But you have to realize we need to understand 90% of the 1.5 billion souls never heard the gospel once. And some of those people, millions of them, did not even have heard the name of Jesus even once. We have a missionary went into a Chinese lady's home, old lady's home, and said that I have a friend whose name is Jesus, and I want to share with you and introduce my friend Jesus to you. And the old lady says, well, could you ask him to come a little bit later so I can clean my house, and then you can ask your friend to come. She didn't even heard the name Jesus in her life. My friend talked about Jesus and shared the gospel with this old lady. That day, she accepted Jesus as her personal savior. My brothers and sisters, there's a lot of needs. And how can we go to bed tonight and thinking that everything is fine, but yet out there, 75% of the world population do not have the truth to hear. And we need to do something, my brothers and sisters. And so we need to understand that even though we face the situation that the government disallowed missionaries to go, but we need to have a creative ways and creative minds so that we'll be able to send missionaries to go. And in the past, particularly in China, and locking the bamboo curtain, so a lot of missionaries cannot go inside. And even today, if you say you are a missionary, you are not able to go in at all. You have to use other ways. And we have seen persecution in China. Now, people say that people come back to China and then tell the people or the church today says there's no persecution, everything's fine, China is changed, but that's all lies. Because we have all kinds of evidence to prove that today Our brothers and sisters are still under the persecution. Later on, I'll show you some pictures, then you know. And even though there's a persecution, we need to have the proper biblical mindset in order to go into those places, because the Lord says, "Go ye therefore, making disciples of all nations," including 1041, though, including those countries that they restrict missionary to go. All nations. And therefore, we need to consider this is a creative assassination. Now, when you consider creative assassination, what do you have? You can do something. So, what can we do? We can become tent makers. Instead of going as a missionary, we can become tent makers to go in. Or we can become English teachers. And a lot of people, Asian people, want to learn English. Particular Chinese people, they want to learn English. And as long as you can speak English, you are English teacher. You say, my English is really bad. My grammar is bad. But it doesn't matter. You still can teach English, yeah, because you speak English. And no matter your accents, southern accents or northern accents or Midwest accents, as long as you speak English, you can go. And there's a creative way to go in. Or you can become a business person, and you can also become a professional, and you can become an investor to go to China to reach out to the people, international school or college teacher, and even you can become a tourist. Did you know that we have a friend who is who just applied a tourist visa and go in and then check in the hotel and then invite the Chinese pastors to come in the hotel? They train the pastors, and they invite the unsaved friends to come over to the hotel and then preach the gospel and lead them to the Lord. And so there's all kinds of ways that we can go in and then doing works for the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we have seen 130 million Chinese Christians that in mainland China. When you hear that about 130 million, you think this is a great number. Yes, compared with many other countries, that's a great number. But compared with the 1.5 billion people, 130 million is a really small number. Why? Because we have 1.4 billion people we still need to reach out. And so, my brothers and sisters, there's a lot of works waiting for us, and we need to reach out to 1040 window. The needs in China is heavy, and they have a heavy burden on their back. And they have 5,000 traditions and all kinds of false religions on their back, and that back need to be free by Jesus Christ. And we have to realize that that needs, and so our board start thinking what is the best way to reach out to China. We understand the best way is to reach out to the Chinese leaders and training the Chinese leader and the national pastors and preachers. So in 1994, we start training them in a very remote countryside and hiding in the underground and trying to do all the works. And you can see that the many pastors and preachers and leaders of the church, they come over in a very worse situation, but they listen to the word of God and under the teaching. And you can see that there's all the people we train in the past. But there's a danger there. And also there's all kinds of obstacle. For example, the facility is really bad. And they can sit there the whole day. From 6 a.m., they get up 4 o'clock and then pray at the 5 o'clock. And then 6 o'clock until 9 p.m. that we teach the whole day. And they sit on this board whole day. And you have to realize all kinds of things that face and really obstacle. But they love the Word of God and want to learn. And this is the house church, and you have to realize that usually the house church, the pastor will stand in the gate, because the room is so small, and when people come in, they cannot take everybody. So the pastor will stand in the gate and tell people, say, go home, go home. Today we don't have a space for you. You come back next time. And so they will put the people, you see this letter? They will put people into the attic. And sometimes they put too many people on the attic, the whole attic actually collapse. And when they preach 3 hours. I mean, in the States, if you preach more than 40 minutes, then you're not going to be invited next time. So I better be quick. But you have to realize, the first time I went in, I preached 40 minutes and sit down, and nobody moved. And so the brother came to me and said, Brother Wei, you have to realize, if you don't preach 3 hours, then they're not going to go. They walk 6 miles to come over, and only 40 minutes. You're not going to satisfy them. So I have to stand up and preach another two-hour sermon in order to satisfy them. I mean, what kind of a spirit that we have there? I wish that we can have that kind of eager and desire to know God's word like that. And so that's a church, house church. And how about persecution in China? A lot of people say there's no persecution. And all those persecution is already gone. Now, let me show you what's happening. This is a lady, a Christian lady, that pass out the gospel tract and be arrested. And the policeman kind of torture her. Now, when he tortured her, he didn't beat her up. What he did, maybe this picture is not clear, she is not near on the ground. She actually kneeled down on the bowl of rice bowl. And so when they put the rice bowl on the ground and they kneeled down on those rice bowl, and actually a couple minutes later, it's going to destroy the joint and the knee. Sometimes they use Coca-Cola cap and put on the ground. And when you kneel down, 3 minutes later, the Coca-Cola cap will sneak insert into the flesh. And that's the way they tortured Christian people. And not only that, this old lady just attend the church, and she was arrested, and she has been tortured by this electronic bar. And that's a very hurtful situation. And this lady, she also passed out the tract, and then she was beaten up. If you can see, he is stabbed on her. And not only this young man who just distributed some Christian literature, and he has been arrested by the policeman, and then they almost kill him. And you can see that how they torture him, and very cruel situation. Now you probably will ask me, how did you get those pictures? That's a good question. And some of those policemen that they just cannot endure those kind of torture, they took those pictures with cell phone and then sent it to one of our coworkers and gave to this brothers. And the brother handed those pictures to me crying and said, Brother Wei, could you tell the whole world that we are still under the persecution? And so I have to tell you the truth. They are still under the persecution, and they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's the things we need to know. And because of those persecution and the obstacle we face, we feel that we need to have a new strategy. And therefore, God has opened up the door for us to have a island Saipan. We can get a national pastor to come over to Saipan without any safe threatening, and they will be able to have a freedom to be taught the biblical lesson. And we have trained many pastors and preachers in many channels already. We gave them an English name. So when every year they will come in 20 or 30, we gave them English name. Start from J, K, L, M, N, O, R, O, P, R. We don't have Q, because, you really don't have a lot of English name, start with a Q. But we gave them English name so that they become their cover. And so when they, go home in China, in case they be, they being, arrested, they will say, who is your classmate? They will say, John, Jacobs, James, and the policeman will never have an opportunity to find out who they are. And that way we protect their identity. And so this is L group, this is a M and N group, and this is O group. And we have about 20 or 30 people every year. Now we also have a new strategy. We want to start schools, and the church school movement is now happened in China. Each church that we have a school, and so we can reach out to young people. And meanwhile, we start the kindergarten or school that the premise we can use for the church. So this is the kindergartens that the one of our M groups man to start. And there's a kindergarten. They teach Bible when they were young and pray. And this is another picture of a kindergarten, boys and girls. And this is the place that they, after the kindergarten, they use for service. And so we have church, school, and establish many church and many school to help the ministry there. We have a lot of other ministry, but let me share with you, those brothers and sisters, when they face persecution, what are the response that they face? And particularly, we want to learn from the book of James. Now, if you turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2 to 12, and the concept is how to respond biblically during the trial. Now you see, when the book of James is a small book in the general epistle, and James is the half brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning, he doesn't believe the Lord, but later he saw the resurrected Jesus. He changed, and then the Bible shows us that in the book of Acts, he become the senior pastor in the Jerusalem church, and so he make the final announcement in order for the Gentile believers to follow the biblical principle. Now, James, as a pastor, you have to realize he wrote the book of James from a pastor's eye and pastor's heart. He's not just focused on the concept we have to think that, the book of James is talking about that if the faith do not have the work, then it's death. Well, people have this wrong impression to think that's what James is talking about. James is not just talking about that. James is looking from a pastor's heart and pastor's eye and looking the whole church. And he finds out the church is full of problems. And so he is trying to preach to the whole congregation, start from the chapter 1, verse 2, and onwards you can see that he look at the different situation in the church that the believers did not do it right. Some people say they believe, but actually they don't have evidence. So James said, prove to me. If you have faith, show me. Show me evidence. But that's only one of them. But you can see that he also point out, now, when you trade the poor people, what are you going to trade them properly? You look at the rich people and you treat them well. But the poor people, you just dumb them. And so you have to realize this is from a pastor's heart and looking in the first church. And so many things that they did not do it according to God's will and God's way. And so he from a burden from a pastor heart and trying to tell them what is the biblical way to do it in the church. Now, did you know what is the first thing that he saw that our church people have done wrong? The first thing that from James' heart and James' eye, as a pastor, he saw that we did not properly respond to the trial that in our life. So that's the reason why the first thing that he deal with is that when you face temptation, when you face trial, when you face hardship, when you face problem in your life, what is the biblical response? You know, we all face different kinds of a situation in our life. What is your response? And to show that you are truly the followers of Jesus Christ. That's important. The reason why today so many people doesn't want to believe in Jesus Christ is because they didn't see that we have a behavior that actually show that we are the followers of Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why our church is so weak. Because we did not live what we're supposed to live. We did not respond. We're supposed to respond biblically. And so, from James chapter 1 verse 2 to 12, we'll see that the different outlines. The first outline, we're going to see the reality, chapter 1 verse 2, and we're going to see the second outline, the response, chapter 1 verse 2, 3, 5, and then we're going to see if you respond biblically to the trial, then what kind of results you're going to face, you're going to receive. Now, number one, the reality. If you check with the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible said, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation. First of all, we need to look at this concept that we need to see the veracity of trial. What does that mean? That means there's a the trial in your life is real. You have to realize, my brothers and sisters, James did not say, if you fall into diverse temptation. What did James say? When you fall into diverse temptation. What does that mean? That means, if you say, if, that means, maybe it will come, maybe it will not. But if you say, when, what does that mean? Sooner or later, you're going to face temptation or trial. So this is for real. Everybody in this world, you are going to face different kinds of temptation or trial and hardship and problems and troubles in life. This is for real. So you don't like the, cover your eyes and then thinking, it's not going to happen to me. I'm exempt from all the trials. You're not. All of us are going to face temptation. But we also want to understand this is a variety of the trial. You're not going to just face one kind of a trial or one kind of temptation. You're going to face diverse temptation. What does that mean? That means you're going to face different kinds of temptation. For example, financial trial. Now today we have economy problems. Everybody is kind of face financial economic problem, right? And a lot of missionaries face that immediately. Why? Because the American dollar is immediately cut on the value. In the past, it's probably $7 or $8 exchange rate to the Chinese RMB, and now it's 6. And so, everybody faces this financial difficulties, problem in this time. What are you going to do? Okay, what are you going to do? You're whining, screaming, and kicking. Oh, you respond properly. Not only financial situation, you also face family problems. Not only family problems, you also face friendship problems. You have friends, co-workers, and you cannot get along. Those trials, those problems that happen, family issues, financial issues, friendship issue, relationship, and not only that, you also have the problem of faith. You face church problems. Or if you are godly people, you make determination that you want to live a godly life, you'll definitely face persecution. So, what is the proper response? What is the biblical response? Sometimes we worry about future. What is tomorrow? That's a future's temptation, future's trial. So what are we going to do? Now, diverse temptation. James says, my brethren, what are we supposed to do when you fall into diverse temptation? Now, that's response. We need to teach, see two aspects. Number one is action. When you face all those trials, or all those problems, or all this difficulty, you need to have a proper action. And then, when you do those actions, you need to have a proper attitude, biblical attitude. Number one, we see the first response. What's your action? When you face all those trials, what is the first action you have? You need to have a pleasure. So in chapter 1, verse 2 says, my brother, count it all what? Joy. And so, count it all joy. So what does that mean? When you have a trial, instead of crying, screaming, murmuring, complaining, bitter, you need to have joy. Now, the thing is this. The Bible said that the key words in this verse is not just fall into joy. Joy is very important. We're going to talk about that, the joyful attitude. But the important concept here is count it all joy. Now, do you know how to count? Of course, I don't need to teach you how to count, right? Now, you go to kindergarten, then you know how to count. Why? Because the teacher will teach the kindergarten says, okay, you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? And then the children will count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But sometimes you will face you will have some children say 1, 2, 3, 5, right? Then teacher said, no, this is wrong. You need to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then the students will say 1, 2, 3, 5. And then teacher says, no, wrong. Try it again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, she will, the teacher will teach the children continue repeating until the children say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Right? Count. Now, count it all joy. How do you count it all joy? When you count it wrong, count again. When you face trial in your life, you didn't count it joy, then come back, count it again. And you didn't count it joy, come back, count it again. You didn't count it joy, come back, count it again. You said, this is too hard for me. Teacher said, count it again. Until you count it all joy, you're not going to pass the test. I always tell my wife, says, let's pass the test. Don't go to the retake. I mean, if you don't pass the test the first time, God will give you retake. Are you going to count it all joy or not? You need to count it all joy. Now, what does that mean, count? Now, the word count sometimes has this concept of consider. What does that mean? The word consider, it means that in the reality, maybe that's not the things you like, but you consider that way. So, what is the best illustration? Now, the best illustration is a story I heard. A young boy has to mow the grass, and he mowed the grass, and he mowed the grass, and looking at his friends playing ball, and the more he do the work, the more he hate it. And he considered this is very hard work. And then the more he mowed the grass, and the more he considered that. And the more he considered that, the more he feel visible. And all of a sudden, one day, he said, hey, whether I consider bad, and in order for me to continue to be miserable, and why I change my mind? I consider this a nice job, wonderful job. And so just when he changed his mind, then his whole attitude changed. You know, this is exactly what we need to do. When you continue to consider the things and the place and the environment and the circumstance you are in bad, the more you'll feel bad. But when you consider good and joy, then it will be good and joy. All because you did not renew your mind. Did you know, my brothers and sisters, your mind can be trained. You need to set up your mind. When your mind being trained, then it will be easy to consider all the situation kind of all joy. For example, I mean, American people love their pickle, right? That's an awful taste. I mean, hey, when I first came to America and people offered me Dell pickle, I try. I thought that this is a good taste. I mean, I try. I don't know whether I want to swallow or vomit. I mean, but I swallowed. But I said, this is what kind of a taste is this? I mean, it's not sour. It's not sweet. I mean, it's terrible taste. And yet, American people love their pickle. Well, what's happening here? Because they train their butt. And so when they were young, and I mean, parents gave them Dell pickle. And then every time and they have a pickle, they eat Dell pickle. And that taste become so familiar. And it become part of their life. And they count it taste good. But we count it taste bad and awful. You see, their pickle will not change the taste. What's change the taste? My mind. If I don't change my mind, even the best thing and the good thing happen in my life, I will consider bad. But if we trust God, and even the worst trial and worst things happen in our life, we'll consider kind of all joy. And so, my brothers and sisters, when you face the temptation, face problems and hardship and difficulties and suffering in your life, what are you going to do? Count it all joy. And that's the action you need to do. Count it all joy. And count it right. And count it as joy. And then the joy will come. Now, secondly, not only you want to have a pleasure, you need to consider this pleasure, and you need to consider God see you qualified. You have to realize that the reason why you have this kind of trial and other people don't have is because God thinks you're qualified. And so God says, okay, yeah, I see something in you, and therefore I allowed this trial to happen to your life. And so, you need to pass the test. And so, when you understand that, God considers you qualified to face this trial, and then, what are you going to do? You need to think, this is honorable things. And you need to consider this joy. Now, for example, if your teacher said, so-and-so, come to the front, and you're going to get reward. What are you going to do? You'll consider this as honor. The teacher calling you. The same thing. God is calling us to come forward and face this trial. And this trial is going to give you better and more reward in the heaven. Maybe from your end, you think that's trial. But God is going to use this particular event to enrich you so you can be better servant of Him. Count it all joy. And then, secondly, we need to see chapter 1, verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith work patient. Now, you The second action we need to have is patience. Now, what is patience? Patience is place yourself under what? Under pressure. Which means that you are going to endure. And I remember a story talking about a pastor and kneel down in the prayer meeting, kneel down with a young brother, and the young brother start praying. And after a few seconds, the pastor stand up and then ran out to the church and say, "Run, run!" Everybody was so surprised and asked the pastor, "What's happening?" And the pastor said, "Did you hear that young man? Did you hear what he prayed?" And the people said, "What did he pray?" And he said, "He prayed for patience." And then people said, "Well, he prayed for patience. That's good. Why you ran? Don't you understand what the Bible said? Tribulation, patience. But this guy is praying for patience, so tribulation is coming." Now, even though this, you think this is a joke, but did you know this is exactly what we're going to do? When you want patience, there's only one way to get patience. Through tribulation. So, when trial comes to your life, God says, let it work, so that you will build up your patience. And if you don't have this patience, God cannot use you. Well, God gave you all this trial so that you will enrich and then adding up patience in your life so God can use you more. Well, some of you are older enough, so I can give you this illustration. Now, those young people like Dr. Johnson, they probably don't know. And did you remember that when we were young, today the math they call exercise, right? We don't call exercise that time. Older generation, you understand me, right? When we were young, what those exercise call? They called problems. Remember that? Now, when your math teacher, teach some math problem and give you some principle, and then what did he give you when you go home to do homework? Problems. So you carry those problems home, and then scratch your head, and then pull your hair, and finish all those problems. Resolve those problems, solve those problems, and you are so happy you finally finish all the problems. You go back and give the teachers all the solution of the problems. What did your teacher give to you? More problems and harder problems. And then we bring those problems and harder problems and come back and scratch her head and then do it again. And little by little, we have more skill and to solve more problems and harder problems. Do you know? This is exactly our life. God gave us trial. That's a problem. That's trouble. That's hard work. But did you know, the more you face those problems, the more you understand, and then the skill and the character and all those technique and you will be building up. And so you'll become a better servant of God. When trial comes, James says, don't feel bad. You need to be patient. Understand the trouble, the trial, the temptation, the hardship, the persecution and suffering is actually building you up. So you have more patience. So James says, when trouble and trial come to your life, respond in the pleasure, in the way of pleasure. And respond in the patient, the way of patience. And then finally, respond in the pleading way. In chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So, the Bible says it's very clear that he wants us to plead to the Lord. Now, when you have trial, what are you going to do? James said, ask of God. So, let me ask you this. If you have a financial problem, what are you going to ask? You say, God, I need $1 million to solve my financial problem. Well, when you have a financial problem, most of us will ask God to give us money, right? That is not the way. That's not what James said. Now, when you have a family problem, what do you pray? You say, God, I cannot endure this lousy husband. Just make him disappear. Right? And that's most of the people pray, right? The wife, the husband, they when they have a problem, they pray that God will one day, and when they wake up and they disappear. And they think when they disappear, the husband and wife disappear and they solve their problems. Well, that's not what James said. A lot of the time we want the problem go. And we want the problem disappear. But that's not what James says. Did you know what James says? James says, when you have problems and trial and hardship and the temptation, you ask for wisdom. Why? Do you know why James tells us to ask wisdom? Because your problem is not, when you have financial problem, it is not because you need money. When you have financial problem, it's because you have no wisdom to handle your money. And you need to have God's wisdom to handle your money. And so when you have a financial problem and you ask God for His wisdom, you know what? Then God will give you wisdom. Because the Bible says so. When you lack of wisdom, ask for God. God will give to you. Now, do you understand? In the Bible, there's one best example. Solomon. When Solomon was young, and the Lord appeared to him and asked him, what do you want? You can ask me. What did Solomon ask? Ask for wisdom. Now, what did Solomon get? Not just wisdom. Solomon get everything. Not only wisdom, that he also get money, get all the reach, and get power, and get fame, and name, you name it. Why God want Solomon to ask wisdom and gave him not only wisdom, but all other things? Why? Because God now understand, and God understand when Solomon has God's wisdom, then Solomon has the right kind of a wisdom to handle all the money, all the power, and all the fame. Now, if you and I do not have God's wisdom, and God gave us money, God gives us power, and God gave us a reputation, it's not a blessing. It is a curse. That's the reason why when we face trouble and difficulties, we need to ask God to give us wisdom, pleading to God to give us wisdom. Now, quickly, we need to see the attitude. What kind of an attitude we need to prepare? The Bible said that you need to have a joyful attitude. Count it all joy. This kind of a joyful attitude is that you need to understand God's will is for us to rejoice evermore. And so if you are not joyful, then you are not in God's will. So if God wants us to have joyful attitude and we rejoice evermore instead of complain and murmur and bitter, and when we have a joyful attitude, then guess what? God is going to bless us with a spiritual blessings. So we need to have a joyful attitude. Not only we need to have a joyful attitude, the Bible said we also need to have an understanding mind. In chapter 1 verse 3 says, knowing this. I remember a story talking about young person, a young 5 years boy, and there's a new opening of a candy store, and the owner have a very big jar of candy in front of a candy store, and every children in that grand opening day can just grab one handful of candy and in order to get free candy. Now this little boy, 5 years old, standing in the jar and never reach out her hand to grab candy. Then the line is getting longer and longer, and everybody is waiting for this young little 5 years old boy, and he refused to straight over to grab one handful of candy. Finally, the line is too long, and the owner came and then said, young man, just grab some candy, that's free. and he refused to do it. Finally, the owner grabbed one handful of candy and put it into the little hand, and the young boy was so happy and went out. And when he went out, the parents said, "Why don't you do it yourself?" Guess what the boy said? He said, "His hand is bigger than mine." Now, my brothers and sisters, do you know this? Do you know God's hand is bigger than ours? Do you know that? Now, that's understanding mind. Yes, we all will face trials and problems and difficulties and hardships in our life. But knowing this, His hand is bigger than ours. We need to have this understanding mind. We need to know this. Don't tremble. Don't tremble. Don't panic. Don't feel fear and afraid, because God is still in control. His hand is bigger than ours. Understanding mind. Not only you need to have an understanding mind, you also have a submissive will. Chapter 1, verse 4, it says, but let patience have her perfect work. Which means that you need to allow the Holy Spirit and God to work in your heart. Let patience have her perfect work. You allow, you submit God's will. You submit to the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. We have a sister who had been arrested and put into jail. And when she was in jail, and she immediately preached the gospel to other inmates. And 2 weeks later, 12 of them got saved. Guess what? They start singing hymns. And the whole cell room is full of joy and singing hymns. And then it's really get those official mad. So they put her out from this cell and send her to another cell. And she's still preaching the gospel. A week later, 6 got saved. And then now they're singing hymns in the second room. And now there's in the beginning, there's one room singing hymns. Now there's two rooms singing hymns. And then they get mad and put her out, and then place her into third cell. And she continued to preach the gospel, and they changed her 6 times. And 6 times, every time she led people to the Lord. Now there's a 6 sales room and singing hymns in the night. And they got so mad and call her out in the office, and they said, "We need to let you go." And she said, "Why?" And, "Hey, I'm here very well. And she said, "If we don't let you go and kick out you from jail, you're going to lead all the people in jail to the Lord." That's the reason why she has been kicked out from jail. And she doesn't want to go. Now, this is submissive will, because she submit herself to God's will, and she did not complain when she was in jail. She did not murmur. She did not feel bad. She actually feel this is God's will for her to be there, so that she better work. Now, this is what we need to do. Even though you may be in the place you don't like, but then make it work. And then have the submissive will and understand God will never make a mistake, and He will lead you if you submit with a submissive will. Not only submissive will, but you also need to have a believing heart. In chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, mentioned about that we need to have faith. I remember that the story talking about in the early time when soldier come over to China, occupy China, and they decide that they are going to close down all the church. And so they come into church, arrest the pastor and the family, and ask the pastor to submit the list of the church members. The pastor refused. And then the communist soldier are very angry. So they dig a hole and then bury all the family on the ground, and then only the heads stick up. And when the children was buried together with the parents, children start frightening, crying, And this time the father was so terrible, feels so terrible. He doesn't want his family to suffer, even though he is very willing to suffer for the Lord. But when he heard his children's crying, his children's sobbing, his heart melt. And he stopped, have this thought of compromise. At this time, his wife noticed that. And so she immediately turned to the children, says, "Be silent, children, because tonight we're going to have supper with Jesus Christ." And that encouraged the pastor to continue to be faithful to Jesus Christ. And he never turned the list of the members. And they all been buried alive. And by yet, because they suffer themselves, and some of the soldiers who buried them alive later on trust Jesus as their personal Savior. A wheat corn, if they don't fall into the ground, die. There's no any more further fruit come out. We need to believe. We need to believe that our lives is not ours. We need to believe that God can make this life be more abundant if we are willing to die. Do you believe that? When you face persecution, trial, hardship, do you believe that God will make it the perfect and beautiful? That's the true response when we face trial in our lives. My brothers and sisters, we are blessed. Our situation and our circumstance is much better than our brothers and sisters in the persecuted country, in China. How are we going to respond biblically during the trial? We need to have a joyful attitude. We need to have an understanding mind. We need to have a submissive will. And also, we need to have a believing heart. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we come before Thee. Thank Thee for this evening that we can come together. I pray, Father, Thou will encourage us. So many times we did not follow the biblical principle. So when we face trials and problems and difficulties in life, we did not feel it biblically. And we ask for forgiveness. And tonight we pray, Father, no matter what kind of trials that we are facing, help us, Father, to have a joyful attitude, to respond kind of all joy. And help us, Father, to have this understanding mind that Thou art in control, Thou will make no mistakes. And also help us, Father, to have a submissive will. So we'll submit Thy leading and guidance. And also help us, Father, to believe, to have faith in Thee, to understand Thou are going to make all things work together for good. And to them that love God, and to them that call according to His purpose. We thank Thee for this time. Bless each one of us, comfort our hearts, and encourage our hearts, so we will be able to do right before Thy sight. Thank Thee for this time. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.